right. Good morning. What a blessing to be here with you guys today. It really is. And I am just so grateful for the friendship of Donald and Pastor Rich. And I just love Loomis. And I'm honored. I'm honored to be here. I was just sitting there this morning, just studying and getting ready for today, and just thinking about how unworthy I am. I mean, I used to come here for youth rallies to Loomis, and to think that I'm now here in the pulpit where so many men of God have stood. Really, I'm just unworthy. I don't feel like I deserve to be here or that I should be here. I almost feel like a poser coming up here. You're like, oh, I'm going to pretend I'm a preacher, get up behind the pulpit. But, you know, hey, it's where God had me come. And like I kind of said this in Sunday school, but it wasn't very well thought out when Pastor asked me to preach. And we had the youth rally coming up, and then we just had our youth rally yesterday. And man, oh man, it takes it out of you getting ready for those youth rallies and having your brain. And, you know, there's been so many mornings where I'm trying to study, prepare for this message, and then, like, youth rally stuff will start coming in my mind, and I'm typing it down on my, like, to-do list. And I apologize. I'm tired right now. Wow, we had a long day yesterday. And then it ended up, we thought over twice as many kids as we thought were going to be there ended up coming, and just a big group and just a great day. But I'm excited to be here, and I really, really, I want to emphasize this. I appreciate Loomis Park Baptist Church and your stand for what's right and staying true to the paths of the scriptures. And it's not hard. Just follow the Bible and just follow what it has to say. But it seems like nowadays in our culture and in our society that it's almost like, you know, all these cultural issues, it's like if you just followed the Bible, it would be a non-issue. But people don't. They just get off on the wisdom of man and get off on what they think should happen and what they think should do. And that's where everything gets screwed up. And we're actually going to kind of be talking about that here this morning. So take your Bibles. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. And while you're turning there, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ben White, and I'm the youth pastor over at Fellowship Baptist Church. I have the privilege of serving underneath my dad, Pastor Daniel White. I love my dad with all my heart and consider myself honored to be able to serve underneath him and to be able to learn how to conduct myself in the ministry underneath him. And he really is, honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, he's first off my favorite preacher, and he really is my hero. And I just appreciate the Lord for the privilege he's given me to be born into the family I was born into and to be able to now serve next to my dad. It really is beyond my wildest dreams where I'm at today. But I've been a youth pastor now for about 7 years, and I've learned a lot in 7 years. Mostly from doing the wrong thing, right? We learn a lot from doing the wrong thing, and I learned from experience. And yesterday, we're at the youth rally, and you know, I'm running it. We had this balloon game, and the Lord just blessed us, man. It's awesome when you put so much prayer into something, and something that's outside of your control, and you see God bless it. And you just know that is of the Lord. That is of God. And we had so many kids coming. And so we decided to do some outdoor games to try to, you know, just for different transitional reasons. And you know, this time of the year in Michigan, honestly, it could have been snowing yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? Anything can happen. You never know. So we prayed so hard. So for like a week before the youth rally, it was supposed to be like 50 and rain all day. And we just prayed. I was texting everybody I could think of saying, pray, make sure you're praying for Saturday. And the Lord transitioned that from a rainy 50 degree day into a glorious sunshine 72 degree day. I mean, it was beautiful. And we had a water balloon game, and talking about learning from experience, something I'll never do again. I'm sitting there and we're getting near the end of the game, and I'm like, it came to my brain. I'm like, all right. Because, you know, we have all these youth pastors there, and I'm the type of youth guy that I love getting involved with the games and playing the games with the kids. Mostly because I like, you know, I mean, come on, dodgeball? Who doesn't like hitting kids with dodgeballs? You know, it's just fun. So I'm coming near the end, and we got like all the youth pastors. They're like all sitting up on the hill, like a bunch of bumps on a log. And so we get done with the water balloon game, and I go, all right, the next game, you have 60 seconds for this next game. Everybody split up onto their teams, and I'm like, the first youth group to hit their youth pastor with a water balloon wins. And so I'm like, that's awesome. They're going to get it. And it literally, in slow motion, I see all of the kids from my youth group go, grab water balloons in slow motion. And then it was like literally in slow motion in my mind. I'm like, this was not very well thought through. It never crossed my brain that my youth group kids were going to throw water balloons at me. And oh my goodness, I got soaked. So anyways, we learn from doing things. We learn from experience. So that plan most definitely backfired. And, you know, and I really appreciate Pastor Rich asking me to preach here today. Like I said, I feel so unworthy. But you never know what you're going to get when you have somebody come special speak that you've never heard before. And you may have heard things about the preacher or anybody coming, but you really never know what you're going to expect. So I was down at Landmark Baptist Bible College. That's where I went to Bible College for a while. And we had a special speaker, and he was telling us about a speaker that came to speak at his church. And you know how different speakers have, like, different mannerisms, you know? Like, especially when you start getting down south. Oh, man, they got mannerisms. Like, you know, some of them will start walking and, like, shaking their leg when they're... And so anyways, they had a preacher come to their church, and this was his mannerism. He'd be preaching, he'd be going off, then he'd go, "What do you think about that?" And then, like, he'd just be preaching, you know, going on, then he'd just go, "What do you think about that?" And so he's sitting there praying, and they knew this was the way he was. So he's sitting there preaching, and he goes, "What do you think about that?" And then he sees everybody in the audience is just like, start chuckling. And so the preacher up there preaching thinks they're doing it because they just love him. So he starts getting more and more exaggerated. "What do you think about that?" So this is the thing. The reason people were chuckling is because his fly was wide open. Every time he's like, "What do you think about that?" And so people are sitting there. They're like, you know, they're holding their nose. And he thinks they're doing it because they love him. And so he gets getting more and more exaggerated. And like, literally, it's like 10 minutes has gone by. He's like, people are literally laying on the pew laughing so hard. Like, people cannot even stand it. So anyways, I hope that doesn't happen this morning. I double checked before I walked up here. So you never know what's going to happen when you have a new speaker come in. But I'm really grateful. I'm really excited, really blessed to be here with you today. So let's take our Bibles, turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 7 and see what the Scripture says here and see some ways that we can apply God's truth to our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, it says, "My son," you know, I'm really blessed because for the first time, 2.5 months ago, I could say, "My son." Love my family. We prayed a while and had a miscarriage. And so it's technically our second child, but I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man. Oh, that caught me off guard. But the Bible says, "My son," loves his son, wants his son to walk in the ways of God. And we'll see that here. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6, and I want us to focus in on this. "For the Lord giveth wisdom." Amen? The Lord giveth wisdom. "Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Let's pray one more time before we get started. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to be here, Lord. You know I am in just an unworthy vessel. And Lord, I just pray that you will use me and just fill me with your Spirit. And you must increase, but we must decrease. And I just want you to use me to bring forth your truth to the people and find some way to apply this truth to their lives. And to show them the truth and to help them to understand how to become more like you in their everyday life. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about, this message is about how to obtain godly wisdom. And I'm telling you, no matter who you are or what walk of life you're from, this should be able to be applied to your life, because it's so necessary and so important to get and obtain godly wisdom. Let's take our Bibles really quickly and look at the man who realized the importance of obtaining godly wisdom. Does anyone know who we're talking about? King Solomon. That's right. Let's take our Bibles, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 5 through verse 10. King Solomon, the greatest king to ever live. Everybody knows who King Solomon is. Everybody. Even the unsaved know who King Solomon is. Why is that? That such a famous character, not just in the scriptures, but in all of human history. How did he become such a famed person where his name will echo throughout the ages? We'll see exactly why. Let's look here in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's read verses 5 through verse 10. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." You know, God loved David, didn't he? David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David. But at this time in history, David had passed. He was passing the kingdom on to his son. And here we are, Solomon, a fresh, brand new king. The Bible doesn't tell us how old he is, but obviously we assume he's probably pretty young. All right? Pretty young to be a king. So he's a brand new king. God is coming to him. God's saying, "Listen, ask me something. You ask any request of me. What would you like?" And then we see Solomon's response. Let's do verse 6 again. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according to as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I love Solomon's humility at this time of his life. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out nor to come in, And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for the multitude. And then here's the request. This is where all of Solomon's fame, honor, glory, wealth, riches, everything. This is where it all comes from right here, verse 9. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that thou mayest discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And verse 10, what was God's response to this request? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God's wisdom. The reason Solomon became such a famous person whose name has been echoed and spoken by so many people throughout the ages is because in the beginning, back when he became king, his request was for God's wisdom. He wanted God's wisdom. God, my friends, is the source of all wisdom. Amen? God is the source of all wisdom. It's not just something we believe because we're Christians. It's the truth. Amen? It's not just something we believe. It's just the truth. It's just the way it is. God is the source of all wisdom. Psalms chapter 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and great of power. His understanding is infinite, without end." God's understanding is infinite. And to even try to wrap our small minds around it, you know, just, we can't even imagine it. We were setting up for the youth rally Friday. I was setting it up. Some of the kids from the youth group were helping me. And we have great kids. They always help me whenever I have projects. I go around and pick them up and they help me do it. And I don't know how we got on it, but I was talking to one of the kids about the fact that God has always been, right? There's never been no beginning to God. There's no beginning and no end. And how that just like, you know, you start trying to think about that and your brain just explodes because there's literally nothing in this world that we can relate to something that has no beginning, because everything has a beginning, right? The world started, everything that's been in the world since then has had to have a beginning. There is nothing that doesn't have a beginning and that doesn't have an end. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. So we can't relate anything to it. That's the way God's wisdom is. It's infinite. God's wisdom is so much, we literally can't even imagine, we can't even begin to try to comprehend it, because it's just with no end. You know, there's a lot of people that think they're wise in this world, isn't there? There's a lot of people, they think they're smart. You watch Fox News and they always have, or any news thing, they always have their panel of experts, right? But the ironic thing is that you have two experts on the same topic, yet they're saying the exact opposite thing, right? Oh, yeah, you guys are great experts. You totally disagree with each other, but you're both experts on the same topic. So there are people, everyone thinks they're wise. They think they're an expert on something. They think they got a lot of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 says, "The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." You know, God just looks down at those people that are telling other people things, trying to explain stuff to them and trying to tell them what they think, giving their opinion, thinking they're so smart. And I can just see God up in heaven just, "You're so foolish. You guys are so foolish. You have no clue what you're talking about." You know, praise the Lord, we have a patient, gracious God. But how many times does he look at the things, how we respond to things, what we're doing? He's like, "Poor children, just have no clue, no idea, right? What they are doing, what is going on?" You know, every year we take a camping trip up north with our teen guys. The teen guys go for a week and the teen girls go for a week. And we go camping up at a campground. The boys all camp out in tents. It's a great time. We love it. It's one of our most favorite times of the year. And we used to do this. We don't do this anymore. Just, I don't know, I guess I'm getting old or something. But we used to always take all of our sleeping bags out to the beach and sleep on the beach overnight. And then we realized after about 4 years that that's really not all that fun. It's cool to do it one time to say you did it, but, you know, after that it's like, wow. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, wow, you know, sand, not as comfortable as I remember. So anyways, we're out there. So this was one of our all-nighters. We're out there. It's at night. I think this was like 2 years ago. And, you know, okay, imagine this. You got to put this scenario. You got teen guys. And, of course, you know how infinite their wisdom is, right? So you got teen guys sitting around a fire, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know how teen guys' brains work at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know most youth groups have this. You have like, you know, you have your athletic kids. You have your, you know, the ones that just love the Lord, really spiritual kids. You have your smart kids. You know, quote unquote, they believe themselves to be smart. So we have two of our smart kids sitting there, 2 o'clock in the morning, arguing about how wormholes work. Wormholes. Literally. These guys were so passionate. And he's just, one of them's just like, he's like, "You're like, how could you say that?" And then the other one's like, "I'm just using logic." And the other one's like, "There is no logic." And I mean, these guys are like passionate. Just like, they're like all out arguing about wormholes. And, you know, like thinking about like wisdom and like what our understanding, like I could just see like some guy from NASA sitting there, you know, with like 5 doctorate degrees, just shaking his head like, "You guys, so stupid," you know? Like, that's the way God looks at us when we're trying to, you know, arguing and doing these things. God's just like, "Oh, you guys have no clue." Listen, God is the source of all wisdom. Amen? It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, what a beautiful, beautiful verse to help explain the wisdom of God. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." I mean, it's just, we can try. And listen, that's what we do in the Christian life, right? We're trying to understand God, trying to just barely grasp just a little bit of who God is before we pass. But how unsearchable are his ways and his ways just past finding out. But that is our whole pursuit in life, is to become more like Jesus Christ. You know, This is in no way a perfect illustration, but just to explain the knowledge and the understanding of God, it's like going to Niagara Falls, and you take a little, you guys got communion cups here, like a little, just a little tiny communion cup. That's your amount of knowledge that you can understand, right? And Niagara Falls is God's wisdom. And like I said, that's in no way a perfect illustration, because God's wisdom is like 100,000 Niagara Falls, even more than that. But imagine that. That's all God's wisdom coming down. And what we do in life is just try to reach over and just try to fill our little tiny communion cup with just a smidgen of God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding. You know, that's what Solomon did. He filled his little tiny communion cup. Look, one of the most famous men in all of history, because he was able to obtain the wisdom of God. Here's the cool thing. You know, what did it say after Solomon asked for wisdom? What did that say? It said, that pleased God. See, because here's the thing. God wants us to have his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. See, God isn't up in heaven just like hoarding all of this wisdom and like, you guys are so stupid, you can't get it. No, that's not what God's doing. God wants us to have his understanding and his knowledge. He's like, if you would just reach out and grasp my knowledge and my understanding, things will go so much better for you. That's what this whole Bible is. This is all the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of God right here in the Scriptures. God wants us to have his understanding. He wants us to have his understanding because God loves us. He loves us so much. God loves us so much that he spent time. I mean, think about this. Think about how many people are on earth. Think about all the time past, all the time to come. God actually spent time developing a plan for your life as an individual, for you, for me. Puny little Ben White, who's just a dot on a giant world map for a super short period of time. And God spent time, his own time, to come up with a plan for my life. That's how much God loves us. We don't even get into coming down and dying on the cross for our sin and all that he went through there to show his love for us. Not even talking about that, but just think about that. The God, the creator of the universe, spent time to come up with a plan for your life. He created us in his own image. He created us in his own image. And this is something really cool. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Isn't that insane? God, the creator of the universe, wants to have a personal relationship with us. You know, in my youth group, especially our teen guys, they just idolize sports figures. And really, our country, and I know everyone loves sports, but our country really is sports crazy. You know, it's really insane how much time we spend investing in sports as a country and just entertainment in general. But imagine this. I know everybody's, you know, I'm just going to say Michael Jordan just for the sake of, you know, it's almost like when you say Michael Jordan, that's just like generic for famous sports people. Like when you're talking about fast food, you say McDonald's. It's just, you're not really talking about McDonald's. It's just generic because when you think of fast food, McDonald's. So Michael Jordan, I think everybody knows who that is. Hopefully. Well, not hopefully. I don't know. You may not. I met a kid that didn't know who Mickey Mouse was, so. But anyways, imagine Michael Jordan, you know, he's calling you. He's like, hey, you know, Brother Donald, hey, can we go out for breakfast tomorrow? And Donald's like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm busy, you know. Sorry, Jordan. You know, we're going to have to play. You know, calls him the next day. Come on, man. Let's just go out for coffee just for a few minutes. Donald, oh, I don't know. I'm planning for a youth rally. Listen, Jordan, you got to stop calling me, man. I'll call you. You don't call me. I'll call you. That doesn't happen, right? Because we're not famous. But that's the way God is. God, the creator of the universe, he wants to have a relationship with us. That's his desire, his goal. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he's there knocking on your door saying, let me in. Come on, let's spend some time together. And, you know, we're too busy to spend time with God, too busy to spend time so that we can receive his knowledge and his understanding. God wants us to have his knowledge and his understanding and his wisdom because he wants to show us his perfect plan for our lives. Listen, God has a perfect plan for your life. I don't care who you are, what walk of life you're coming from. God has a plan for your life. I don't care if you're making $300,000 a year. I don't care if you're making $20,000 a year. I don't care if you're a student, if you're retired, if you're in high school. Wherever you're at in life, God still has a plan for your life. God is never finished with you until you pass. Amen? Until the day you pass away, God's got a plan for your life. And you should be able to say, I am right now, currently, in the will of God in my life. You know, when I was down at Landmark Baptist Bible College, we had a professor. And, I'm talking, this man, there's people where they're, you know, a little bit older, and when they speak, it's just like wisdom just seeps out of their pores, you know? It's like every time you're around them, you almost want to have a pen and a piece of paper because you're going to get something good, like every time they talk. This man just walked with God. His name was Dr. Herring. And he was in his late 60s. I think he was like 69. He was the pastor of a church of around 2,000 people. And he felt the Lord leading him to go teach, leave his church, comfortable life, thriving church. He'd been there for years. His church loved him to death. And he left it to go teach in a small puny Bible college of 55 students. You know how just those little hole-in-the-wall Bible colleges, leave his church and go serve in a small little tiny Bible college, felt the Lord leading him to do that. Even at 69, probably, if you were to look in ministry success terms, oh yeah, that's successful. But at that time of his life, he realized, you know what? God is not done with me. God still has a plan for my life. He still has something he wants to do for me. Dr. Herring was a man who sought after God, who sought wisdom, who sought understanding. And I'm telling you what, who knows the impact Dr. Herring made on the young preacher boys that came there. And, you know, his time was not done. So I want to, the illustration I'm trying to give is get at, God's never done with you. God's always got something for your life. We always need to be seeking Him. We always need to be seeking His knowledge and His understanding and His wisdom and direction for our life. You know, people respond to God's knowledge and God's wisdom and direction. People respond to it differently. Some never consider, and it's true, some Christians, they never consider what God has for their lives. That's so sad. So sad. They just live their life, living day by day. And it's not that they're necessarily rebellious, like rebelling against God. They just never consider what God has for them. They're just kind of wrapped up in themselves and their own families. And that's so sad, because when you're not seeking after God and you're not seeking His direction in your life, you're just kind of floating through life, you know, no real direction, this is okay, you know, it's okay to do this, but it's okay to do that too. You know, there's just not really any direction in their life. And that's sad. That's sad. Some people are like that. No real direction in their life. Some people approach God's wisdom. They rebel against it. They rebel against God's wisdom. They rebel against God's direction in their life. They, you know, the first person, they really don't consider it. It's not really rebellion. Then the second people, they do rebel against God's direction in their life. And that God takes rebellion very seriously. And God takes a rebellious spirit very seriously. And if you are rebelling against God, you need to take that very seriously. Take that before Him. And then other people, they understand. And this is where I want all of you to be today. This is where I want myself to be. Because some people, they understand that God's ways are always best. His ways are always better than our ways. His thoughts are always better than our thoughts. God spent time creating a plan for you. He knows what you love. He knows what you're good at. He knows where you'll be happy, successful. God knows that. And God wants that for you. He knows where to bring you, where your life will bring Him the most honor and glory. And I'm telling you what, you'll never be more happy than when your life is bringing honor and glory to God. It's amazing. We go to the Philippines. You know, you've probably seen that. We go to the Philippines on Philippine trips. And we've had kids, teenagers, save up $2,000, $2,500 to go on a 10-day mission trip. All we do when we're there in the Philippines is we serve, serve, serve. We go and preach at public schools. We do tent revival ministries. We go to orphanages. It's like, you know, in the world's mindset, they'd say, why are you spending $2,000 to go slave for 2 or 3 weeks in another country for this Jesus person you're talking about? And every time, 100% of the time of the young people that have gone on those trips say it's the best time they ever had in their lives. You know what? Serving God, being part of the ministry, telling people about Jesus. Everyone, and I'm talking, we've done a lot of mission trips over the past 15 years. A lot. Every single young person that's ever gone says, best experience of my life. You'll never be more happy than when you're walking in the center of God's will. Let's see here. I cannot believe. Shoot that clock, man. See, in our church, the clock is set up in such a way that we have two big windows behind us, and the windows shine on the clock, and you can't see the time. So, but we don't have that benefit here at Loomis. So, man, I am going to blaze through the rest of this message. I'm actually only through about 25%. I'm going to blaze through it so we could try to get all this in. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective, right? Being able to... you and I will look at things differently. I look at something one way, you'll look at the same thing and see it from a different angle because of your experiences in life. Okay? So, God has all the wisdom that there ever was or ever is to have. So whenever He sees a situation, He knows exactly the right thing to do. You understand? I'm trying to get you guys to understand how effective and how important it is and how much it will bless us and benefit us if we're able to get this. So our goal is to be able to look at a situation, see it from God's perspective, who knows the past, who knows the beginning, who knows everything. He sees the perfect way to do it and to try to understand how to treat this situation. That's what we're trying to do, to seek God's wisdom. God's wisdom is seeing life through God's perspective. Wisdom is being able to apply biblical truths to our everyday decision making. Since God is all wise, omniscient, all knowing, it is important to try to seek His will and His direction in our lives. How do we obtain wisdom? And like I said, we're going to blaze through this. I'm probably not going to look up all these verses for sake of time. But we need to obtain wisdom by seeking after it. Amen? We got to seek after wisdom. Wisdom doesn't just happen. Wouldn't that be fantastic if it did? Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could just like do like a computer and just like download wisdom onto a flash drive and ping, plug it in and just like download it on in 5 minutes? That's not the way it works, okay? That's not the way it happens. We have to obtain wisdom. We have to work. We have to go for it. We have to learn it. We have to seek after it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 7 is all about seeking after wisdom. Telling his son, seek after wisdom. Seek wisdom, seek God, because God is the source of wisdom, right? So if God is the ultimate source of wisdom, and we need to seek after wisdom, in all actuality, we need to be seeking after God. Because the more we understand God, the more we understand his principles and his scripture and his truths, the more wisdom we'll have. You know, we sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, right? And like, the kids don't realize how essential that is to the Christian life. You know, there's adults that need to sing that verse and need to get that in their brains. But reading the scriptures, understanding the scriptures, it is essential to a life of success. Because the more wisdom and understanding of God that you have, the more blessed, successful, and profitable you will be in your life. Oh, like I said, I'm blazing through this. So we need it to seek after wisdom. We need to, another way we obtain wisdom is by seeking godly counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Nobody knows everything. Some people think they do. They don't. Nobody knows everything. There are times in our life where we have to seek counsel from godly men. And once we do seek counsel from godly men, we need to then ask the Holy Spirit for discernment. Because honestly, I'll be honest with you. I've had two godly men in my life, both telling me some different things that I should do. Then we need to take that before God. But we need a way to obtain wisdom is by seeking it from godly men. Amen? That's the way to do it. I mean, they got years and years of experience and wisdom and scripture knowledge behind them. It'd just be wise to seek wisdom from godly men. And you know who the number one godly man you should seek wisdom from? It's your pastor. He's there. He loves you guys so much. A pastor gets his greatest joy from seeing his people walking in truth. And that is his greatest joy and his greatest desire for you. So seek your pastor. He'll tell you. You know what? He might not always tell you what you want to hear, but I guarantee you your preacher will do his best to tell you the truth. And sometimes it hurts, but hey, wisdom isn't easy. It's not easy to get the knowledge of God. So we obtain wisdom by seeking godly counsel. We obtain wisdom by memorizing and meditating on God's word. Amen. That is a great way, and I kind of already talked about it. It says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 through 11, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the paths, in the right paths." A way to obtain wisdom is by meditating on God's word. Listen, the best way to start your day is by waking up, reading the scriptures, and meditating on it. You know, the scriptures are timeless. Okay? The scriptures, God inspired the scriptures. Men wrote the scriptures as they were dictated by God. The scriptures, it crosses all barrier of time and culture. So we're dealing with different social issues today than our country was dealing with 100 years ago, right? Obviously, the big thing today is homosexuality. That's the big talking point of everybody today is homosexuality. Guess what? Cultures change. Philosophies change. Theories come and go. You know what hasn't changed? The scriptures. The scriptures hasn't changed. It stays the same. Scientific theories will come and go. Guess what? The Bible was the same before the theory of evolution as it is today, right? The Bible hasn't changed. Theories change. And I just want you to realize, you guys realize it's called the theory of evolution because it can't be proven, right? So it's the theory of evolution. It's not even the fact of evolution. So theories come and theories go. The Bible remains the same. You know, just thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about John Bunyan. And for those of you that know John Bunyan, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And I'm sure we've all heard Pilgrim's Progress before. But Pilgrim's Progress was written in 1678. That's a long time ago. All right? That is a long time ago. And John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress all the way back there. And guess who one of the characters Christian runs into on the road? And we're talking about 1678. One of the characters he runs into is Mr. Worldly Wise. Wow, we've got a lot of worldly wise people today, don't we? But guess what? Like I said, scriptures, it passes all time and barrier. God's wisdom does, God's knowledge. It passes all of that. It remains the same. So here in 1678, they were struggling with Christians following after the world's wisdom. Isn't that unreal? Like, I mean, if they can even imagine how far we would come as a civilization, as cultures from now until then. I mean, it would blow their minds. But guess what? God's truths, because they're from God and God is the ultimate source of wisdom and knowledge, it stays the same. It applies to all cultures, all lives. So the best way to, some ways to obtain wisdom by seeking for it. Obtain wisdom by seeking godly counsel. Obtain wisdom by memorizing and meditating on God's word. We need to be doing that every day when we wake up. We can obtain wisdom by befriending wise people. You know, a person's friends will tell you a lot about that individual. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed." Wise people are friends with wise people. If you are friends with foolish people, ultimately, you're going to start to become a foolish man. It is so critical who you have as friends. And I'm not just talking about young people. I know we gear that towards young people. That's even true for adults. Who you have as a friend as an adult is critical in your lives. And you can tell a lot about the character of a person by looking at who they surround themselves with. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends with people that are not either walking with God or unsaved people. We should be friends with them to the point that we are trying to lead them into either, if they're not saved, into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to get saved, or if they're carnal and not walking with the Lord, we should be friends with them to the point where we're trying to bring them back into a relationship with Him. I'm talking about close friendships. And I think we're all smart enough to know the difference between, you know, being friends with somebody and being a close, intimate friend. And that's what I'm talking about. Don't be close, intimate friends with people that are foolish and unwise, because it will hurt you. And lastly, we obtain wisdom. And I mean, it's so easy and so simple. We obtain wisdom by praying for it. Wow, what an easy way to get it. But how often do we really do it? How often do we, it says in James chapter 1 verse 5, I've already quoted this verse twice today because it's just such a great verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. We just have to ask for it. We just have to seek for it. God is up in heaven. He has all of this wisdom and understanding. It's infinite. It's never ending. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. Guess what? We're all going through different circumstances in our lives. And God wants you to ask Him, to seek Him, to search for Him, because He wants you to have the understanding to do the right thing in your life. Whether you're dealing with a situation at work or at home or whatever it is, we have all got different situations in our lives. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're retired, whether you're making $1 million a year or lost your job, God wants to help you make the right decisions in your life. And I hope that today, through just this simple, simple message, you understand the importance of God's wisdom and God's understanding. And I hope and pray today, because I know it will bless you. I know it will. You'll be the most successful, blessed individual, happy individual, if you are truly seeking after God's wisdom and God's knowledge with all of your heart, your soul, and mind. God loves you. He wants the best for you. But it's a two-way street, right? And listen, just really quickly before I end, if you feel like you're a far ways away from God, I heard it said once, you're only half as far away as you think you are. Because what does God say? Draw an eye unto me, and I will draw an eye unto you. Every time you take a step towards God, He's taking a step towards you. And it's not going to take that long till you guys meet up and you're back in that perfect relationship with Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord,